Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. Hi there, and welcome to a new podcast episode. I'm Kim Stewart.
And I'm Hazel Fruitman.
And we're here this week to talk about podcasts, podcast stats, podcast marketing, and how things are changing in the podcast sphere. Welcome. It is nice to have you here with us, still fairly early in the new year, and this podcast episode is about all things podcast. If you are a new listener, you may not realize that we have several other podcast-related episodes in the archives.
We sure do. They do really well. Lots of listens. So right now, that includes episode 43, What's New in Podcasting Trends. That one is from a few months ago. We also have episode 33, The Biggest Mistakes in Reading Podcast Stats. So go check those out.
Hey, that's something we're going to address today with these new Apple stats and other stats stuff related to this part of the episode.
Hey, and don't forget episode 27, How Much Does It Really Cost to Market Your Podcast? This one is huge. It still gets a large number of listens and downloads every month. It's got the wealth of information in there that is completely relevant right now.
Oh, you just don't know how relevant it is until we get down the road on this podcast, actually. So, before we get down to the nuts and bolts of what's happening in the world of podcasting, we're going to take a quick time out here, and Hazel's going to give you the two-minute rundown of how our mobile wallet ad campaign works and how it can be used to successfully market your podcast.
Right. Mobile wallet campaigns are an incredibly effective marketing collateral when you set them up correctly and implement them in a way that increases engagement with customers, prospects, referrals, and so on. In a nutshell, a mobile wallet campaign consists of a mobile wallet pass that's added to individual phones. iPhones use Apple Wallet, which is native iOS application. And Android phones use any of a number of third-party apps to achieve the same goals. The pass has two sides, the front and the back. The front of the pass is like a digital calling card. It normally has the name of your product or business, perhaps a tagline or logo, and should be styled to complement your existing logo and collateral. We can include a QR code and a barcode on the front of the pass if you're interested in tracking users via the passes, although the tracking default does not contain any personal information unless we have created a customized solution for you. The front of the pass should be designed to get someone's attention, colorful maybe, or with a unique tagline or similar. It requires a very simple, clean design since most phone screens are not that big. The back of the pass is where the magic happens, as I like to call it. And this is the area of the pass where you're really going to be able to get your message out there and include some very efficient calls to action that result in quantifiable results. The structure of the mobile wallet pass means that everything on the back that is formatted in a way that the phone recognizes, like a phone number, an address, a URL, a link to iTunes or YouTube, and so on. Those apps are actually launched when the user taps a link on the back of the pass. What that means in real terms is that if you're promoting your podcast, you can send your subscribers a lock screen notification, and they have the ability to tap the back links, and your podcast will start playing in the correct app, iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, or whatever. It also means that if you're a realtor, for instance, and you include the address of a property you're promoting, a prospective buyer can tap the address on the back of the pass, launch maps, complete with driving directions. Tap to call, tap to email, tap to launch social media apps like Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and others. These are simply handled by the wallet app, and there's no coding or formatting involved. It really couldn't be any easier. Passes can be shared through a variety of means. The most popular method is including the pass URL as a link or in a print ad as a type in request using a browser. Other ways include the share function on the pass, having someone open Apple Wallet or scan the QR code directly, or even sending the pass via iMessages or email from the phone. Last but not least, the passes include location and proximity targeting features, which means that using the geofencing and location awareness that's built into smartphone offers you the ability to send lock screen notifications based on where someone is, as well as sending them time-based, or what we like to call static messages. You've probably seen this at the airport if you're having a boarding pass in your Apple Wallet on iPhone, for instance. When you get close to the security screening checkpoint, the boarding pass automatically pops up on your lock screen, and you don't have to search for it or open the app or unlock the phone to see it. So there you have it, the 2-minute rundown on just what and how a mobile pass works, where it goes in the iPhone, and what it can do.
Apple's announcement from several months ago, months and months back, it was at WWDC that they were going to start providing stats for podcasters. So we waited all year for that, and it turns out that it is really a big nothing burger.
A nothing burger? Do you have to use that term?
Yep, I do. I'm incredibly disappointed. I thought it would be more of an event, a more effective use of their data. Instead, it's just a potential 72-hour delay in some minor stats that really don't seem to matter much. It doesn't gather data on anything pre-iOS 11 or iTunes 12.7. You know what? I am 99% sure that I am pre-iOS 11 on my own iPhone, even though those jerks at AT&T keep trying to force me to update my iPad and my iPhone with new carrier settings. But, you know, who knows what kind of data they're trying to steal from me now?
What are you talking about?
Well, in case you've forgotten, we did an episode about net neutrality not long ago. And the next thing I know, AT&T is now telling me that it needs to access my camera and my microphone on my Android phone in order to keep my billing app up to date. I'm a really unhappy camper with the whole thing, just so you know.
Okay, but what does that have to do with podcasts and stats?
Well, I just told you. I don't get counted in Apple stats, for instance, because my device is not up to date with the version that they are using as a minimum to count in the stats.
Okay, gotcha. Now I see where you're going with that before you went off on that tangent rant.
Yep, that's it.
Okay, so what else is new with podcasts?
Lots of things, I suppose, but at the end of the day, not all that much. On an interesting note, though, podcasts are getting both longer and shorter at the same time.
How can that be?
Well, I got a fascinating email from PodTrack the other day. If anybody listening doesn't know PodTrack, they're one of the companies that attempt to rank. They kind of do a pretty good job if you ask me. But anyway, they attempt to rank various podcasts by listeners, downloads, etc. Again, though, in order for them to do that, you either publish your podcast on their network with some tracking software, which we don't do, or you don't get included. Same thing with Castos. If you want to use them to host your podcast for their enhanced stats, then you have to move your hosting to their platform. So I'm really not too keen on their claim of having great stats either. But getting back to the email, this is where I got the story about podcasts getting both longer and shorter at the same time. Here's the gist of the email. With increased download activity across all podcasts, the proliferation of new apps and the rise of new devices such as smart speakers, all which we believe will call for shorter podcast content in the coming months, this month PodTrack is publishing 2 podcast rankings, the top 15 snackable podcasts and the top 20 podcasts. The snackable list ranks podcasts whose average episodes are 10 minutes and less, while the top podcast list ranks all podcasts over 10 minutes.
So we're calling super short podcasts snackable as a term now?
Yeah, that's kind of how it appears to me. Although I'm not entirely sure what new apps they're talking about or why a smart speaker would call for a shorter podcast. I mean, really, when did the speakers start determining what we listened to or didn't listen to unless the batteries for the wireless speaker went dead while we were in the middle of hearing something?
I'm not sure I have an answer for that, now that you ask.
Okay, never mind. Let's just keep moving. The next item I have to talk about in this episode also came from another email that I got. this time from Hot Pod, which is produced by Nick Kwa. He's a pretty clever guy, and I really do enjoy his newsletter, and I like to go poke around on his Hot Pod site. So he, and this goes back to where we were talking about the cost of market earlier, yeah. He's pointing out that the air media ecosystem, and air media is a fairness in pay to media employees. They have a chart. Anyway, they've come up with a rate chart that freelance talent should expect to be paid when they're doing work for podcast companies. It doesn't sound like an awful lot, but I did think it was interesting enough to take a peek at the rates and see how that might translate into what people should be spending to promote and market their podcasts. Sort of like a non-update to that older number 27 episode we produced where we talk about how much it costs to market your podcast.
Okay. So what did you find out from it?
So what I found out is that if it costs as much to produce a podcast with freelancers as these rates would indicate, it's likely that promoting a podcast effectively is going to cost a shed ton more in 2018 once that rate chart gets out and people want to be paid the rates that are on that chart for their production work or their research work.
Oh, really? So how much is a shed ton?
Well, I think it's enough that we should be increasing our pricing on Podcast Marketer by at least a multiple of 7, maybe more.
You can't be serious.
I'm totally serious. I think we should raise the rates and do it soon. We're priced way too cheaply for the value that we bring to the table, and we need to fix that. You know, there are so many podcasts out there right now that it is impossible to get discovered for most people, at least on their own. They've really got to get going with the promotions and the marketing angles, and as you already mentioned, mobile is the means by which more than 80% of people are listening to podcasts, so it only makes sense that it would be the most effective way of marketing podcasts. You know, I think that if any of these stats actually start to pan out, there are probably going to be a lot of disappointed advertisers. And a lot of those advertisers are going to want to renegotiate the contracts that they have, especially with the smaller independent studios and producers. So if you're listening, and that is you, it's time to start getting your listener count, your subscribers, and your downloads moving in the correct direction, or you're going to find it really difficult to maintain anything near the rates that you're charging for ads right now.
So what about people who are on strictly sponsorship basis, not being paid based on stats?
Well, I think it's pretty awesome if you can get one of those arrangements and make the contract stick. But up until now, it's been impossible to know what's true and what's not based on stats. And, you know, maybe these new stats are still not entirely correct. You know, I looked at one of the new stats versions released by a non-Apple company, and it looks to me like it's Google Analytics repurposed by using Google Tag Manager in the hosted stats. You know, the thing with the Apple stats, all that tells you is how many minutes, what type of device, and some simple math like how many minutes per device people actually are listening. You know, it's not like we are seeing people listen to the broadcast. You don't get anything about where they stop listening, where they start listening again if they paused it, what did they skip over. You know, you don't get any of that really valuable data, and you would think you would, wouldn't you?
Oh, I would love to have that data on our podcast. You have no idea. So in summary, you're saying that there's more things change the more they stay the same, and that if you want to get your podcast discovered, it's going to take more than a few hours of new and notable in iTunes.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. And that's not even taking into account how ISPs may decide to force people to pay for content that's currently sort of free. You know, I keep reading all this news and I try to decipher where there's going to be an opening for regular people who are trying to create their content and get it out there so they can get themselves a regular audience. I mean, it's really difficult to do. And I can't imagine what kind of struggle it's got to be for a lot of these folks, especially the ones with a small marketing budget. I mean, we use our podcast to support our existing business. We don't rely on it for advertising, sales, or revenue. I mean, that would be like super tough.
Yeah, for sure. It would be, especially if we had to only work on podcasting.
Oh, yikes. With that little comment, I think it's time to wrap up this episode. Seriously, I'm going to go raise our prices. That's where we're headed.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time then.
Okay, later.
And, like her head hurts just talking about this. If you have any questions, feel free to contact us. You can find us at dominoresearch.com, mobilewalletmarketer.com, or cannabiswallet.net. Have a great day.